What drives someone to conquer half the known world before they turn 33? Alexander the Great stands as history's most audacious gambler, a figure so outsized that even Julius Caesar reportedly wept before his statue, lamenting his own modest achievements by comparison. Born in 356 BCE in Macedonia, a kingdom most Greeks considered barely civilized, Alexander inherited more than a throne from his father Philip II. He inherited a revolutionary military machine and an education from Aristotle himself. But inheritance alone doesn't explain the man who would carry Homer's Iliad into battle like a talisman, who would weep when he thought there were no more worlds to conquer, who would die at 32, having created an empire stretching from Greece to India. At 12, Alexander demonstrated the psychological insight that would later make him a master of warfare. When a magnificent stallion named Bucephalus arrived at court, no one could mount the wild beast. While experienced horsemen failed, the young prince noticed something others missed. The horse was terrified of its own shadow. By simply turning the animal toward the sun and speaking soothingly, Alexander mounted what would become his faithful companion for 15 years. His father Philip, watching this display, reportedly declared, "Macedonia is not big enough for you." This wasn't mere luck. Philip had transformed Macedonia through military innovation, introducing the sarissa, an 18-foot spear that gave infantry unprecedented reach. Meanwhile, Aristotle tutored Alexander in philosophy, science, and literature, creating a curious hybrid, a warrior philosopher who could quote poetry while planning sieges. His story isn't just ancient history, it's a masterclass in ambition, leadership, and the intoxicating danger of believing your own legend. At 16, Alexander served as regent, repelling invasions and founding his first city. At 18, he commanded cavalry at Chaeronea, destroying the elite Sacred Band of Thebes. Family turmoil erupted when Philip divorced his mother, Olympias. At the wedding feast, a drunken toast questioning Alexander's legitimacy prompted him to hurl his cup and flee. After reconciliation, an assassin killed Philip in 336 BCE. Alexander moved ruthlessly, eliminating rivals and crushing rebellions. When Thebes revolted, he razed the city and enslaved its population, a brutal message that secured Greek compliance through terror. In 334 BCE, Alexander crossed into Asia with 40,000 men against Persia's millions. Before departing, he distributed nearly all royal property, keeping only hope. Landing on Asian shores, he hurled his spear into the beach, claiming the continent as Spear One territory. At the Granicus River, he led a cavalry charge across rushing water. A Persian axe split his helmet. Only his general Clytus the Black's intervention saved him. After victory, he sent 300 captured Persian armor suits to Athens, inscribed, "Alexander, son of Philip and all the Greeks, except the Spartans," mocking their refusal to join his campaign. At Gordium, Alexander encountered the legendary knot supposedly only Asia's future ruler could untie. Rather than struggle with the puzzle, he sliced through it with his sword. Strategic theater, demonstrating he would rewrite rules rather than be constrained by them. At Issus in 333 BCE, though outnumbered by Persian King Darius III, Alexander personally led a cavalry charge directly at Darius, causing the great king to flee, a humiliation that shattered Persian morale. Among the captured were Darius's wife, mother, and daughters. Alexander treated them with remarkable respect, even correcting his companion Hephaestion when the royal women initially bowed to the wrong man, saying, "He too is Alexander," suggesting either profound humility or calculated magnanimity. When Tyre's island fortress refused him temple entry, Alexander built a causeway connecting the island to mainland, a 7-month demonstration of will that permanently altered geography. The causeway still exists today, having made Tyre a peninsula. When Tyre fell, he ordered thousands executed and 2,000 defenders crucified along the shoreline. This brutality served a purpose. Subsequent cities surrendered without resistance. Calculating cooperation was preferable to annihilation. Egypt crowned Alexander Pharaoh at Memphis, welcoming him as liberator. He founded Alexandria, destined to become the Mediterranean's greatest port and intellectual center. Then came a mysterious decision, crossing one of Earth's most inhospitable deserts to reach the remote oracle of Zeus Amun at Siwa. Alexander emerged claiming divine parentage, that he was Zeus's son, not Philip's. His mother Olympias had long hinted at this, but now he embraced it publicly. Genuine belief or brilliant propaganda? Perhaps both. In a world where divine kingship was familiar to Egyptians and Persians, but alien to Greeks, claiming godhood legitimized his rule over diverse peoples, while setting him apart from mere mortals. On October 1, 331 BCE, Alexander faced Darius at Gaugamela with 47,000 men against perhaps a quarter million Persians. While his generals fretted, Alexander slept soundly. Awakened at dawn, he smiled. "Don't you know we've already won?" As battle commenced, Alexander led his cavalry in a calculated feint rightward, drawing Persian forces with him. When a gap appeared in their center, he executed a brilliant pivot, charging directly at Darius. For the second time, the great king fled. Alexander entered Babylon in triumph, then proceeded to Persepolis. After systematically looting its vast treasures, he burned the magnificent palaces, marking the definitive end of Persian dominance and avenging Xerxes' burning of Athens 150 years earlier. With Persia secured, Alexander pursued Darius eastward, only to find him murdered by his cousin Bessus, who declared himself king. Alexander gave Darius a royal burial, then chased Bessus into Bactria and Sogdiana, modern Afghanistan and Central Asia. Here, he faced brutal guerrilla warfare. Nomadic horsemen used hit-and-run tactics in mountain terrain. The three-year campaign tested his army to breaking point, with Hindu Kush winters claiming men to exposure and desert crossings where thirst-crazed soldiers drank themselves to death. Alexander's methods grew savage, burning villages and massacring suspected rebels, yet he showed political cunning, marrying Roxanne, a Bactrian nobleman's daughter, to win local support. Tensions exploded at a drunken feast when his old friend Clytus, who had saved his life at Granicus, criticized Alexander's Persian customs and divine claims. Enraged, Alexander seized a spear and killed him. Though immediately remorseful, refusing food for days, this murder revealed the growing divide between Alexander and his Macedonian veterans, who increasingly saw their king becoming the Persian despot they'd fought to overthrow. In 327 BCE, Alexander entered the Indus Valley, facing King Porus and his war elephants at the Hydaspes River. Crossing at night during a thunderstorm, Alexander won but restored Porus as vassal, a display of strategic generosity. Alexander aimed to reach the Ganges and the world's edge, but at the Hyphasis River, his exhausted army refused. After years of campaigning, monsoon rains, and rumors of vast Indian armies, the soldiers mutinied. Alexander waited 3 days in his tent. They held firm. He conceded, erecting 12 massive altars marking his ambition's limit. The return proved deadly. Alexander led forces through the Gedrosian Desert, where thousands died. Reaching Persia, he organized a mass wedding at Susa. He and 90 officers married Persian noblewomen. This cultural fusion, including Persian military units and administrators, increasingly alienated his Macedonian veterans, who felt their sacrifices dishonored. In 323 BCE, Alexander reached Babylon planning Arabian campaigns. After a banquet, he fell ill with severe fever. For 2 weeks, he deteriorated: intense fever, abdominal pain, progressive paralysis. On June 10th, he died at 32. The cause remains debated: malaria, typhoid, pancreatitis, poison, or cumulative effects of wounds and drinking. Asked to whom he left his empire, he whispered either "to the strongest" or "to Craterus," an ambiguity ensuring his generals would fragment his empire through war. Alexander's legacy transcended territorial borders, establishing over 20 cities named Alexandria, and encouraging Macedonian local intermarriage, he triggered cultural revolution. these cities became centers where Greek, Persian, Egyptian, and Indian traditions blended into Hellenistic civilization. Greek became the common language from the Mediterranean to Central Asia. The Library of Alexandria attracted scholars worldwide. In Gandhara, Greek techniques transformed Buddhist art. This cross-pollination influenced Roman art and Islamic science, creating frameworks that later facilitated Christianity's spread and Islam's development. Was Alexander visionary uniter or ruthless conqueror? The evidence suggests both. He showed remarkable generosity toward defeated enemies, yet ordered massacres of resistors. He led with extraordinary courage, yet grew paranoid about assassination. Asked why he pushed such extremes, he answered, "There is nothing impossible to him who will try." His life poses an uncomfortable question. What worlds might we conquer if we believed the only true limits are those we accept?